Welcome to the Skinwalker Debrief. I'm your host, TJ Allard, and I'm one of the executive producers of the new TV series on history called The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch. I'm joined each week by Jason McClellan and Maureen Ellsbury, and together we'll dissect each episode to give you more insight into the show. Jason has been exploring all the strange for more than a decade, and he's appeared on Nat Geo, Sci-Fi, and History, and he's the author of Only Weirdos See UFOs, An Introduction to the Public's Misperception of Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon and Extraterrestrial Life. Maureen is a journalist, researcher, and podcaster specializing in the anomalous. She starred in the docuseries Uncovering Aliens on Animal Planet and served as the ambassador for Science Channel's Are We Alone initiative. And tonight, we'd like to welcome back the superintendent at Skinwalker Ranch, none other than Thomas Winterton. Thomas, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for inviting me.
This is great, man. I'm glad you could be here with us.
No, I'm glad to be here. First time's good. The second time's better because it means I didn't mess up too bad than the first time.
No, it's always great having you, and hopefully we'll continue these going forward. I think people are really enjoying getting the insight from you guys, you and the rest of the team. So we didn't have a show this week, but there's a ton of questions that people have out there. Why don't you give us an update on what's going on with your world, though, first? Like, how are things going? How has stuff been at the ranch? What's going on?
Well, it's important for people to remember that this investigation's been ongoing now for 20-plus years. It started really with Bigelow and then has continued, and he passed the torch on to Brandon. And so we've been investigating this entire time. And, I'm so thrilled that we've been able to bring people on a journey and give them a peek behind the curtain of what's going on there at the ranch. But when the cameras go down and the crews leave, the science continues. And so we're always in the process of fine-tuning our instruments, fine-tuning the methods that we're using. You know, it's always test, measure, and adjust. And so, I feel like we've had a really successful season, season one. We've had, I'm grateful for everybody that's tuned in and followed along with us. And, if reason stands to hold, we're going to be able to continue this journey, I hope. And so in the light of that, obviously there's a lot of things that you look back at season one and you say, we'd like to improve this, or it would have been nice if we had a camera here, or then you've got mountains and mountains of data that's, like I've always said, our spending and our resources always follow the data. So as we get new data, then we say, we were picking up these things over here on this side of the ranch. I wonder if we're seeing the same thing on the other side. So we're always busy. I have a task list a mile long we're always deploying new instruments, new cameras. And, like the viewers have seen on the television show, we encounter a lot of electromagnetic interference out there. And it has raised hell with all of our electronics. So not only are we trying to install new things, but we're constantly having to replace and try to upgrade our old things. Matter of fact, today I spent the day with Eric Bard at the ranch. We had some electronic boards that mysteriously got fried.
Shocker.
we spent the day trying to look at that and replace some of things there. And so it's always a busy time at the ranch, and we're always trying to improve and fine tune our methods and hopefully get some more answers.
Sure. Now, it's just so everyone knows, I mean, the show was filmed last year. Right now, are you, because it's everything is transient, obviously, since we've seen, and it seems like it's cyclical. Are things happening right now? Are you getting a lot of activity right now?
The ranch has been very active. I've personally had quite a few things happen over the last few months, specifically really over the last 8 weeks. It's active. Things are still happening. It is transient. It comes and goes.
Right.
And when it goes, you don't know when it's going to come back. And so we're just sit and watch.
Got it. So you know, since there wasn't an episode, like you were saying, I mean, Jason, Maureen, you know, we were talking earlier that just getting a lot of the same questions. I think, Maureen, you said that some people were asking you a bunch of the same, you were hearing a lot of the same questions, not specifically submitted for tonight, but what are some of those that you're getting a lot of?
Sure. So one of the things, and you know, this depends on how much you're actually able to talk about this, is whether or not the current ranch investigation crew has been working at least comprehensively in terms of analyzing and talking to the crew that investigated previously with Bigelow's team, NIDS, and whether any of that data is, or you're trying to correlate.
Yeah, that's a good question. From the very beginning, Brandon, as people see, Brandon's very, he likes to collaborate, and he is an individual that looks for cooperation, and he's always said all along, the tent's big enough for everybody to come in and add their piece to it. So from the very beginning, there's always been an outreach to that previous group. Bigelow didn't hand us over any data. Really, we are limited to the same data that everybody else has. Now, you know, Mr. Bigelow did, you know, speak with Brandon during the course of purchasing the ranch, but there still was no scientific data that was at exchange. We started with a clean slate. We've obviously asked many, many times, and I can't help but think that a lot of what Bigelow had is classified because of the government money that was spent, because they've just been, they've helped where they can, but they've been very limited in what they will share. So, yes, we have done an outreach, and we'll continue to do so. And hopefully, as time goes on, we'll be able to get more and more. But we've really been limited as to what we've gotten from them.
Sorry. I was just going to give a quick follow-up question. Have you yourself personally spent any time really digging over what is out there in terms of what they had released early on prior to, obviously, a lot of the classified things or the dark hole of the $22 million program? Just done research on what they had studied and what they alleged to have found. Have you read Hunt for the Skinwalker, et cetera?
So personally, no. I have never read any of the books. I've never watched any of the movies. We have, I know that as a ranch team, Brandon and Eric had compiled all of the known information that was pertinent to the investigation. And so I've been privileged to look over that, which I think takes a lot of the stories and anecdotal stuff out and really focuses in on, I think it's just a more targeted approach. So I have seen that and I have looked over that. And then, you know, I've had the privilege of being able to speak personally with the prior team. I've been able to, I think I've met just about all of the players that were here before. So, and had the chance to speak with them.
Awesome. Thomas, what would you say, like, the most frustrating thing has been with this information exchange or lack thereof? Like, you get this a lot, you know, where when I do go on any of the social media stuff, and I'll read people like saying, oh, why hasn't this been shared or that been shared? You know, obviously, like what you said, the classified nature of things, that, you know, it was government money that paid for it and they're not going to share it. But has there been anything that you're like, I need to know X, Y, or Z that you just haven't been able to get, that you think would be super helpful for you? Or have you been looped in enough where you're like, okay, you know what? I get it. I know where I'm at. That's my baseline and I'm going to go forward from here. I didn't know if there was anything that you've been just kind of really chomping at the bit for.
I will say that I'm frustrated. Take, for example, the digging. Okay. When I came on and I was told no digging, there was no why. There was just no digging. That's very frustrating, right? Because you know, I want to know, well, why not? Is this that we're, there's a body buried on it and we're just trying to avoid desecrating a grave? Or is there something dangerous to it? Like, there was no why. That's very frustrating for an individual like me, especially when I set out to do a task, you know, so there's frustration with that. There have been statements made by individuals of the prior group. Little statements like, I would never do that. Well, why not? Would you have information that would suggest that that's dangerous? Like, you can't just say, gal, I would, like, you can't give me the statement, I'll never step foot on Skinwalker Ranch again, and leave it at that. Well, why not? I step foot on it every day. Am I in danger? So those type of things are extremely frustrating. And
these vague generalities. Wow. Blah, blah, blah. Yes.
Yeah. I get that. When statements like that are made to me, you know, don't dig. Oh, you know, I'm never going to step foot on Skinwalker Ranch again, or of the like. Those kind of things really bother me, because I think if you know of something that's dangerous and you're not sharing that with us, that, to me, that's reckless. It's irresponsible. And so then if it, you know, and I would like to believe that these individuals are good people and they're caring people, and they wouldn't ever want to put anybody in harm's way. So then you have to say, well, I'm sure I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they're not withholding something dangerous from us.
Right.
If they're not withholding something dangerous, then it lends the question, okay, if it's not dangerous, then again, why not? What is it? What do you know that you're not telling us? And that's very frustrating. And it's probably the thing that bothers me the most about being on the ranch, is all these things that have been said by the individuals that were there prior to us, and then not having any type of follow-up to know even what direction to take that.
Right. I could see how that'd be frustrating, especially if it's risky and you get hurt. I mean, I wouldn't be...
statements don't help anybody.
Not at all. No, I feel like everyone's been battling that, you know, for a while. It's, oh, I want to tell you about the super cool and dangerous thing that happens, but if I tell you, I have to kill you, kind of thing. You know, like, no, just tell me die.
If anything, all it does is perpetuate the mystery. It doesn't help in any way other than to further the mystery, the lore. That's frustrating. Yeah. I feel for you, buddy.
Yeah, no, it goes further as far as, you know, it's something. There's been a lot of injuries on Skinwalker Ranch. There have been a lot of people that have been hurt on the ranch. Now, we could probably chalk every one of them up to something, I imagine. But when they start making statements like this, then you have to wonder, what is it that they're holding back? And that's the part that I really have a hard time with. You know, even if they would say, don't dig, it's dangerous. Okay, like, but there's no, it's dangerous, it's don't dig.
What is, yeah, and even if that, what does dangerous mean? Dangerous for what? How? For whom? You know, is it dangerous because I'm going to go blind? Am I going to hurt myself? Is somebody else going to die? You know, no, I get that. And that's why I was asking, because, you know, I imagine you're out there, man, you're on the front line. You know, when I first started going out there, and you know, it's scary. It's unnerving, because there's so many unknown things, and you just never know, because it's always seems so secretive. And even like with you, my conversations with you, you know, like you're saying right now, yeah, I don't really know why, but we were just told that. Well, for anybody that's just, it drives you mad after a while. You're like, are you just messing with me? Are you messing with me? Or is there really a reason why? Or are you just saying that to stop me from doing something? So, you know, you get that whole thing.
And then look, who looks like a dumbass when you know, the production company comes on and they're like, and we're like, don't dig. Why not? I don't know. That's like, you know, because it's one thing if we're sitting there sitting on data that we're like, don't dig because X, Y, and Z happens. But if you're sitting there, you're carrying these narratives, and you know, these have been told to us by credible people. These aren't nut jobs. These are PhDs. These are individuals that are respected out in the community. So it's not like some drunk guy told me, You know, you shouldn't dredge, you shouldn't dig on our ranch. No, this is coming from a person I respect. And then when it comes down to us and we're like, well, we don't want to dig on the ranch. Well, why not? I don't know, because somebody told us. Well, who told you? Well, I can't tell you. They told me, and I can't say. I'm like, yeah, right. You know?
And we're off.
Yeah.
Like you sound crazy.
Chain of command, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, okay, sure. You know, and that's Travis. Oh, okay. You guys sound batshit crazy. Yes, we do. I admit it.
Yeah. So have you heard from, speaking of Travis, have you heard from him at all? Have you kept in touch with anyone after, I mean, besides the guys who are there all the time? I mean, Travis isn't there all the time. He's there for production time, but have you heard from him at all?
Oh yeah.
Cool.
There have been reasons that have necessitated, you know, we text back and forth as a group, and there's been some things that have risen over the, we'll call it the off season, right?
Yep.
That have necessitated a group huddle, and
No major injuries or anything to report. Nothing bad going on. And I'm not prodding you or anything. I'm genuinely curious. Like, you
know, I think everybody's healthy. I think everybody's doing well.
Good.
You know, I saw online somebody asked this question, and this is kind of one of those, I don't know if I put a lot of merit into it, but that was talking about how many people on the ranch, they come there and then they have these really terrifying nightmares when they leave that haunt them forever. To me, I'm kind of weird about dreams. I had a dream about Skinwalker Ranch that I was there last week or so, and it was very
share
detailed.
It. Please share it. Thomas has to hear.
It's too long for this, but...
Well, do the abridged version and just change the names to protect the innocent.
Well, no, I was just all of a sudden on the ridge, but like the command center was my parents' front porch, oddly enough. And there's a bunch of people there, and I was up on the ridge and had this overwhelming sense of dread. And the wind came up and was pushing me towards something or away from something. I wasn't sure. And then I ended up back down on the patio, and like electronics were failing. I made fun of Travis Taylor for some reason, and with everyone laughing about something, I don't know. But anyways, it was quite detailed. And then like a creature was involved coming out of the woods when I was in the dark, and that was kind of scary. But what I'm saying is that's just me, because I went to bed after talking Skinwalker Ranch for a long time every week for panels. So I don't know if I tie that in, but my question is, because people are asking about experiences that everyone's having with the dreams, is that something that plagues you as well? I know somebody heard Travis Taylor mention that on a podcast.
That he has dreams? Or that he was
having nightmares about the ranch.
Yeah, so have I had nightmares before about the ranch? Yes, but it was just part of my normal, it was nothing out of the ordinary for my normal sleep patterns. I don't have a lot of nightmares, but on occasion I do have nightmares about various things. And where I spend so much time on the ranch, and where I've, some of my scariest moments of my life, well, not some of, the scariest moments of my life have taken place on that ranch and because of that ranch, it would stand to reason that I might have a nightmare or two, but nothing that I would attribute to, nothing that I would feel like is the ranch trying to mess with me. That's me personally. I will say, yes, Travis has had some nightmares, and I know some other individuals have had nightmares, and people, I took notice. I have to be careful because these really aren't mine to share, but I'll just say that there was enough there to pretty safely say that they had something to do with connection to the ranch. And by that, I mean there's enough evidence to suggest that they weren't just regular nightmares.
Got it.
Okay, very interesting.
Very interesting. So let's go into some of these questions. I see we have a bunch. They seem to be very Twitter heavy this week, but I think there's at least one of those from email. Maureen, do you have that the email ones in front of you? I think we always just go like Maureen does the emails, Jason does the Facebook or the Twitter ones, and I usually read the Facebook ones.
Sure. This is going to be an easy one. Bob's asking whether the UFO that was seen in the episode High Strangeness looks like the UFO seen in the surveillance episode. So were the UFOs spotted that were shown on camera the same, in your opinion?
All right. I know this is horrible, but you're going to have to forgive me. I don't know them by names. I know them by numbers. So is that like episode...
Sure. Sorry, episode 4 obviously versus episode 7.
No. So, I don't think we had an eyewitness on 7. And so what you're seeing there on camera is what we saw, which did not look anything like what we saw in episode 4. And I will speak real quickly to the one that we saw in episode 7 with Cal. And people have a right, or they're justified in feeling like, you know, how can you really tell that's a craft or whatnot? It's almost impossible with a camera, as most people know, to tell depth perception. And so you can get a fly that's 2 inches away from the lens of your camera that can look exactly like a UFO speeding across the sky. The reason why, after looking at that closely, we could rule out the bugs is that at one brief point, it passes behind a branch of the trees that are in the background. And the branch is actually in front of it. And so that gives us an idea on the distance that we're dealing with. And to be that far away from the camera and still show up at size would give you an indication that it, you know, had to be fairly significant size. So when we were doing the analysis, you know, I saw a lot of comments like, oh, it's a fly, or that's... We were basing it off the fact that we were looking for objects that it either went behind or in front to tell, and that's how we were able to gauge that.
It's good for people to hear.
And it's also important to realize, too, we see hundreds of UFOs at the ranch every week. They start out as UFOs, and by the time Eric and the guys work their magic, they're IFOs. They're identified flying objects. And so it's just because there's a UFO, we hear that term and we automatically think paranormal.
Right.
Sometimes it takes... Eric Bard is a master of
forensics.
To take a video, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's written some code, and he's done some really magical things with these videos to really see if they pass the mustard. And there's a couple that I thought absolutely... Matter of fact, I saw them with my own eyes. But once Eric goes in and does his magic with them, they quickly go from UFO to IFO. And, you know, they were a UFO for a week or two until he had time to look at them. So
right.
I really hope that... if and when season 2 takes place, that we will be able to spend more time looking at some of these things, because what people need to realize is that they're seeing like the highlights, but we're debunking 98-99% of the stuff that's taking place. There is a mundane reason for most of what happens at the ranch. And if you don't go through that process and show the fact that we're not drinking the Kool-Aid, not every fly that goes across the camera is a UFO, not every UFO in the sky is a UFO, you know, I think that for the credibility of the show, it's going to be very important to spend some time showing the guys, you know, Travis and Eric and Jim Segala, going through using sound scientific principles and eliminating those things of known origin. And then, you know, maybe we arrive at the end and they say, "Gal, we've gone through everything that we can think it is. We've put this through all of the rigorous tests that we know how to do. I guess at this point we're going to have to let it stand that it's anomalous." Or what we're going to see 99% of the time is they're going to say, "Oh my gosh, that's not a UFO. That's flight 7812 out of, you know, going to Denver." And so I'm with you guys. I hope moving forward that we're going to be able to devote more time in showing the behind the scenes And look, I want to show the highlights too. It's fun to see some of the crazy stuff that's going on because it's legit. But for credibility's sake, we also need to show the 99% that is not legit.
That's really I like good the sound of that.
I think people would love to hear that and get their hands on some of that raw data.
I know going forward too, we're getting ready to launch a website where some of this data and these white papers are going to be posted there. And really, that's going to be the chance. And you know what? I'm excited about it because I think it's going to be an opportunity. I think Prometheus has done a great job of trying to they've got a difficult challenge of trying to show a science show and keep it interesting and keep it moving, but still keep it true to the facts. And I think this website, having the scientists put the hard data on there, papers, being able to show how they've arrived at some of these conclusions, that will be, I think it'll be good for everybody involved, including the production, because it's going to keep people honest, you know. Yep. It's going to remove that temptation to sensationalize and dramatize, because if things are going to get posted on the website in a month and they're going to contradict what you're trying to show on TV, that's going to be bad for the show. So I think all around it's going to be great, and it'll back up and validate what we're seeing on the television show.
It's going to be awesome, especially when you get the peer-reviewed aspect of it. You know, that's going to be really important.
Yeah.
What's next we got coming up? What other questions we got up there?
We've got anything? Twitter. Should we jump to Twitter?
Sure, let's do it.
All right. So Timothy asks, I heard in an interview he recently saw a group of craft over the ranch. Did the cameras get footage of the incident? And if so, how can we see the surveillance footage?
Oh, there you go.
That's a fantastic question. And yes, I did reference that in an interview. So this is one of those things where spot it, and then Eric will work his magic on it. Not just Eric, but I know that the others are taking a look at it as well. And then I've been told to not comment any further on it, simply because if it ends up being something spectacular, we'll want to share that with people in the future. And if not, I hope they'll share how they arrived at that. Either way, right?
Very cool. Thanks, Thomas.
All right, this next one, it seems to be a popular question lately, and I think it comes up on every show, but Sean right? asks, are they getting more tourists now?
Holy smokes. Over the last couple, so I was down working at the turnaround. So people that haven't been to the ranch, as you approach the ranch, where the road turns from a public road to a private road, there is a little spot to turn around. And that's where the sign, there's a great big sign, people have probably seen it online, tells them not to go any further, they'll be trespassing. And if you go beyond that point, then we do cite. We've been writing out quite a few trespassing citations, calling the cops regularly. And I'm very grateful for our relationship with both Uinta County Sheriff's Department and the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the federal police. They both respond very quickly and have been our partners in making sure that we keep the ranch secured. I just want to throw that out there for those people that get ideas. But it was like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was down there actually working on some equipment, updating some of our lights and our cameras, and I put in a new fence down there. So I was down there for the whole week working. And just in that week, I met people from South Carolina, Arkansas, Louisiana, Minnesota, Texas, California, Idaho, Colorado, and dozens of people from the Wasatch Front out in the Salt Lake City area, which is about 2.5 hours from us. And the people that were coming from out of state for the specific purpose of just driving to see the ranch, I felt bad to be like, well, this is all you can see, you know, take a picture of the sign and that's all we can let you see. But yes, tourism has increased a lot. I'd say now on an average day, we're seeing significant travel down to that turnaround. Wow. So
good job staying at home, people.
Yeah, right.
I think 14's driven. I can't tell you, like people that are far away, I'm thinking, there's a group from both. The same day, I met some people from Crawford, Texas, and Austin. And they're just like, oh, we're so – we had cabin fever. We're so sick and tired of this quarantine that we just figured we'll take a road trip. And they they took the opportunity to drive to the ranch and
Road trip to a place you're not supposed to go. Why not? Sure.
I feel horrible. I'm like, there's not a lot to see here, folks. I mean, you drove a long ways, and I can let you take a picture of the sign, and then you got to be on your way. So
I still think there's this misperception that it is like a movie set. You know, that you're going to see something fantastic. Like, oh, my God, if we go there, we're going to see lights and cameras and, you know, dollies and jib arms. No, you're going to see a ranch. Actually, no, you won't even see that. You're going to see some trees, a fence, a big gate, and a thing says, turn around. That's what you're going to see.
Eventually, something outside the ranch will have to be set up like Jurassic Park to let people drive through and get their little thrills, and then they can get a T-shirt and leave. Keep them off the ranch, yeah. All right,
I was just going to mention real quick, and I think because this was brought up on Twitter too, is last week, last episode, Jim Morris mentioned that, you know, you have to kind of treat the ranch like Area 51, and there was some confusion in what he meant there. But I think, honestly, it's kind of like that. He mentioned, you know, it's a living laboratory and the science is going on, so you have to treat it like it's a secure location so people aren't trespassing on the ranch to ruin all these experiments. So exactly. I just wanted to clarify that because I think you're basically saying that with, you know, the trespassing. It's people should not be doing that.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, we've had quite a few people that are like storm Skinwalker Ranch and
don't even put that out there. Holy cow.
Well, you know, people. And I go on immediately. Some of them I can tell they're joking. Like they're just joking. But every time I see that, I will comment and remind people, you know, whereas Area 51 is government, you know, they could call in the troops if they need to. They have the ability to keep Area 51 secure. We're private property. And I just want to remind people, you wouldn't want somebody coming, climbing over the fence into your backyard. This is private property. We're not spending any public dollars out there. And every time someone trespasses and they foul up an experiment that we're doing or they cause damage to the ranch, that's somebody's hard-earned money that has to pay to fix that. That's not the government just pitching in and covering it. So I try to remind people that there's a big difference. Yes, we have to stay secure like Area 51. One, it's dangerous, and we're trying to protect the integrity of the ranch, but it's private property. And so I just ask people to be respectful of that fact.
Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, let's move on to the next one. Ashley asks, in an article with MJ Benias, Thomas had told a story about the time he and his wife were at the command center when they both started to hear banging as well as a disembodied voice telling them to get out. Has Thomas experienced any similar paranormal activities like that since then?
So I've heard, I'll use her term, disembodied voices. I've heard those a total of distinctly three times on the ranch. And that one time was with my wife, and it actually accompanied a whole bunch of strange occurrences that night. We did hear the banging in the bedrooms. We heard the footsteps across what used to be Bigelow's bedroom when he would come and stay on the ranch. Interestingly enough, the whole reason we were there that night was because our cameras were behaving very strangely. So Eric reached out to me and said, we've got some problems out there. And Eric's he's pretty good about cutting through what's serious and what can wait for later. So when Eric calls at midnight and says, we got some problems, like I always take note and it's like, okay, we got to get out there immediately. So the interesting thing is that we're suffering some pretty serious malfunctions with these cameras that he's able to view remotely. At that particular time, and you can see, as we pull into the command center, the cameras all go back to fully functioning. From there on, they're all smooth, and so that was strange. that night was so creepy when we pulled on, like the hair stood up on my arms. Like it was not a good night to be on the ranch. I knew it the second we pulled in. I didn't shut my car off. I left my car running as a getaway vehicle because it just didn't feel right. But as far as voices, I've heard them three times, one plowing snow, one chasing a trespasser, and one in the command center. I have heard things before. Matter of fact, just 2 weeks ago, I was out, I think it was like 2:30 in the morning. And every week we get water turns. And for people that don't live in the desert, they don't understand, like, the only way we can water things is to actually carry it through the ditches and irrigate the land. And water out here is more valuable than gold. And so our water turn actually it starts in the evening on one day, and it goes all the way through the night, all the way through the day, and then all the way through the next night. And so a majority of the time that I have to irrigate is like through the night. And so for these couple of days, every single week, I'm out on the ranch a couple times during the night. And I was out there, it was like, I think it was about 2:30 in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm over by Homestead 3, and I'm adjusting the head gate and the flow of the water. And I can hear like a radio playing. And I'm thinking, what the heck? And I had a pretty bright spotlight. So I'm like shining around thinking maybe somebody's like around. Messing with you. Yeah, messing with me. And so I'm shining it around, and I couldn't see anything. And I couldn't even tell what direction it was coming from either. It was just like this faint radio. So I'm like, what the heck? I get in the Jeep. And I make sure that the radio wasn't on the Jeep. I thought maybe my phone, maybe I'd accidentally hit my music on my phone. It was none of that. So I finish what I'm doing there. I'm not too creeped out yet. I back out and I head back over, and there's another head gate right by Homestead 2. And so I'm getting out and I'm adjusting it, and I hear the same like faint music, like a radio playing, and I don't know where it was coming from. I couldn't identify it, but I started to get a little creeped out at that point. And I had one more head gate to go. I didn't hear it over there on head gate 3, but over there by the two homesteads, I heard the radio, like this faint music playing. I don't know where it was coming from, but it was kind of spooky.
That's exactly what the experience I was having when I went back to the East Coast, middle of the night, just hearing faint music. And I could not identify. I mean, I remember my wife woke up with me. I had my head against the steps listening. Like, where the hell is the music coming from? She couldn't hear it. I was the only one hearing it. And every time I hear somebody else tell that story, it sends shivers up my back, man. That is, to this day, I don't know. I've experienced it.
Was there a type of music you were hearing? Was it like ragtimey or something specific, or just...
Like, I mean, I couldn't really even tell what was being played. It was like hearing a radio play, like almost like the neighbors have it playing, and you can't quite tell what's playing.
That's exactly the description. Thank you, Thomas. See, I can't wait for my wife to see this. I've told her multiple times. No,
I don't know what it was. I do know. My fascination with the ranch is not so much UFOs. To be honest, I could really care less. The crafts, I know it plays a part in it, and that's a huge fascination for people. But for me personally, I'm more interested in the cognitive stuff that's going on, you know? Sure. So there's been a couple times where myself and other individuals that have been on the ranch with me either that day or the day before, we're woken up in our sleep at the, like, within minutes of each other, both woke up to music playing. And there again, not hearing. Now they describe theirs more as a music box type music, where mine's more like a radio. So I don't know like how that is, but yeah. So there's been some strange things like that.
And moving on, as I'm not going to sleep tonight.
No. Yeah, well, you know, here's another question that we get asked seemingly every week. And, you know, Thomas, you just mentioned cameras, and TJ, you can jump in on this too. But This relates to production cameras. So Danny asks, do any of the production cameras lose battery power when cell phones and other equipment lose their power as well?
Yeah, so here's another, I'm not going to say frustration. We're all learning together, but the first season, we kept it strictly about us. And the production crew did experience equipment failures and battery drainages and that. And again, moving forward, you know, if and when second season happens, it's my hope that maybe we can allow some of these things to be shown. I know they don't want to become part of the story, but when you have the production, a lot of the criticism is like, oh, you see that $35,000 drone couldn't connect, and yet look, they've got the network's drone work just fine. And there were times when the network's drone did not work just fine. And I wish, and I hope moving forward that maybe more of that can be shown, and it can be like, oh, they're experiencing the same struggles that we are, because they're not immune from them.
Yeah. I mean, our DJI Phantom 3 Pro, I mean,
yeah,
crapped right out that when we were out there. I mean, it just starts freaking out. Batteries die. It happens. I mean, it just happens. It's just because you don't see it. Like, if everyone saw everything that failed, there'd be no show. It'd be everything failing. All the footage would be of stuff failing. So, yeah, that's why you have redundancy. Backups on backups.
All right. Anna asks, I would like to know about the changes and injury in his head. How is he doing? Oh, that's nice.
Thank you. I appreciate the love and concern people show me. Everywhere I go, that's the first question I get is, how's my head? My first injury, the most severe injury, the one that you see the scans on television, and the most traumatic injury for me took place back in March of 2017. And so luckily I've been able to make a good recovery. I still have some lingering effects because of it. And as you saw on what was it, episode 2 or 3, you know, I've had some small reoccurrences where the swelling will start back up again. And now I don't mess around. I go right into the hospital, because you get worried that it's going to, oh great, here we go again. But, luckily they've just been small reoccurrences, nothing major. So, I'm in good health and I feel good. And so, but I appreciate the concern from everybody.
Awesome. So we got, from Facebook, Gail asks, as a native of the basin, did Thomas ever have any unique experiences growing up there prior to working on the ranch?
I think I actually spoke about this in the first podcast that we did. So I'll encourage her to go back and watch that one that you guys first interviewed. Because I did talk about how I became associated with the ranch. And as far as experiences, I share with people, I had one UFO experience when I was a kid, but it was simply looking out my window and seeing what I thought was a big, beautiful moon out there, only to realize the next morning when I was telling my mom about it that there was no moon out that night. So it wasn't a scary experience or anything. It was gorgeous. It was this big, beautiful orange moon out there in the sky above the oil refinery. And it wasn't there when I looked out the window a little bit later, but I just figured it had set beyond the horizon and didn't think anything of it. And then the next morning when I was telling my mom, man, you should have saw the moon last night. It was so pretty. And my mom was like, I don't think there was a moon out there. And so we checked the calendar, and sure enough, it was a night that there was no moon. So don't know what it was that I saw, but it was not the moon.
That's begging for a Star Wars reference. I'm so sorry. That's no moon.
There's no moon. But really, other than that, no. I don't. And you know, I've been thinking about it because I actually get asked that question a lot. But obviously, I couldn't have had anything too traumatic because it doesn't come to me off the top of my head.
Okay. Well, thanks for sharing all this stuff. Is there anything else like off the top of your head or that you want to, you know, address? Is anything that you haven't had a chance to speak about either here, online? I mean, I know people throw questions at you all the time. If not, that's cool. I just wanted to open it up in case there was something you were like, oh, you guys didn't talk about this.
It's been an interesting ride of emotions the last 8 weeks. Like I say, the ranch for me, the cognitive side, the way that it, you know, if we find out that this is just RF signals, then the way that they interact with the body or the, even in the last 24 hours, I've spent a lot of time out there in the last 24 hours trying to work on some specific equipment and work with Eric Bard on some specific things. And even in the last 24 hours, there are things, I was just joking with Eric like 2 hours before I got on this podcast. He was sharing some things that had taken place to him. I had left for a little while, and while I was gone, some things happened, and it's one of those things I just told him, I'm like, you know, it's just a coincidence, right? And he laughed, and he's like, everything's a coincidence here at Skinwalker Ranch. It million little things that drive you crazy and really make you question your sanity. And as we're drawing to close on the season finale, like my mind has really spent a lot of time analyzing, like, where am I at with all of this? And really, in quite honesty, you know, I've had some conversations with my wife, like, how much more of this can I take? Because at some point when, you really start to question reality and sanity and those type of things. And I can see down the road, maybe sooner than later, I don't know, having to step away because for my own peace of mind.
No one would blame you.
Well, I can see why when you come on, you're thinking, oh, this is the coolest place in the world. And like with the Bigelow team and that, I've always wondered, like, why would you sell that? Why would you step away from that? Why would you? And here I am, I've been on the ranch 4 years now. And there's a part of me that's saying, actually, I can start to understand why at some point you would say it's somebody else's turn because I gave it my best shot, but, you know, kick my butt.
No. You're holding up pretty good, man.
Makes sense.
All right. I agree. Well, again, Thomas, thanks, man, for coming out. And now we have, Maureen or Jason, don't we have something coming up next, 3 days with these guys, some of the Skinwalker guys?
Yeah, and actually some of the questions that we had, people had asked that we did not answer will be answered on Saturday. We'll have a, Jason can give details on the event. I'll just say that I'm hosting a Skinwalker Ranch panel with TJ Thomas Dragon and Jim Morse, and we dive into some interesting ranch experiences, topics, and dealing with the show. So, Jason, where is this panel being held?
This panel is part of a virtual expo called All the Strange, and you can find all the information about that at allthestrange.com. This event takes place on Saturday, this Saturday, the 30th of May, and all the information is on the website. You can register there, and it's completely free.
So tomorrow.
Yes.
Oh, wait, that's right. Yeah, tomorrow, by the time people hear.
Yes, because of podcast magic, yes. Yes.
The magic of magic. Podcasting.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's, I guess that is it for this episode of the Skinwalker Debrief. Now, this coming Tuesday, June 2nd, will be the season finale of The Secret of Skinwalker Ranch on History. I think the episode title is Revelations. So, you know, Thomas says he hasn't seen it. I think, there's some revelations to be had during that episode. So please tune in and stay tuned for our announcement of our guest for next week's The Skinwalker Debrief. Hopefully we'll have somebody new on the show. But thanks again for joining us, and we will see you all next week. Take care.
Thanks, guys.